Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving week has come. It's time to take off work, pile your plate high, and toss back a couple. Corolla Drinks is here to help. For this week and this week only, Corolla Drinks is throwing a Thanksgiving week Mangria blowout sale. Every bottle of Mangria, site-wide, is only $15. That's white peach pear, brosé, and the original orange. All just 15 bucks each. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today. And from all of us at the Adam Carolla Show, happy Thanksgiving.
What's going on, guys? It's your homeboy T-Pain, a.k.a. your girlfriend's boyfriend. Have you had a chance to listen to the new podcast? Now, I want you to stop what you're doing right now and jump over to my new show, the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, with me, T-Pain. Every week, we're talking to the hottest guests from the worlds of music, entertainment, comedy, gaming, and so much more. And they're all stopping by to shoot the show. They hang out. They enjoy some custom drinks. Did you know every guest on my show has a drink named after them?
This is the mild paralysis.
Yeah. And the name of the drink is the Jazzy Fizzle.
Oh, yeah. You're going to make me cry. Tell me, we got a goddamn drink for you, and it's called the Mother
Butterscotch.
No, you got to say it like this. Butterscotch.
Listen, on my show, we pretty much have some of the most interesting conversations you ever heard. We just kind of chill, you know what I'm saying? Listen and subscribe to the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast with new episodes every Thursday on Apple Music and wherever you get your podcasts at.
All right, what are we talking about in this episode?
Boy, this is a big, big thing. We got theme song talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're good, they're good. Like Gilligan's Island has lasted the test of time. There's a new one out there that has to do with some glass replacement.
You guys have probably heard about it, but you probably haven't drilled down on
it.
No,
yeah, we do. That's what we do.
We break that game film down.
That's what we do.
A little stucco talk. Little
how do you straighten a joist that's 100 years old?
We'll tell you how to do it. That's first, right. There's Blinds Galore, huge Black Friday sale happening now, up to 50% off of custom blinds and shades. One of their biggest sales of the year. Head to blindsgalore.com for 50% off during their Black Friday sale. Give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds and shades or shutters. Do it all from home. Just take the measurements and customize it online. With their Build a Blind tool, you can see exactly how your blinds or shades will look on screen before you buy. All hand-built from scratch, delivered straight to your door, created just for your windows. And they even make it easy to connect your shades to your smart home phone or Amazon Alexa. I got that. It works beautifully. No hard wiring. Just charge it up. It is Blinds Galore, right, Matt?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale when you can get 50% off. Go check out blindsgalore.com and let them know we sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Get it on.
Get it on.
It's Ace on the House. The man across, Eric Stromer.
Yes,
over
meow.
There. What you working on, Stromer?
Well, I am currently working on the acquisition of stock French doors, which is next to impossible, I'm finding. And I found one at a big box store. And the order time now to get windows and doors, 10 to 12 weeks.
Yeah, we call them Freedom Doors.
Freedom
on this
Doors.
Show.
Yeah, that's right.
Freedom Fries. Freedom Doors.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't bring the French up.
Sorry. I can't find them. I want this person to choose this window. I'm going to. You know how you do.
How many lights?
You know how magicians force cards on you in card tricks? This is what I'm trying to do to this client.
How many lights?
It's going to be a. So it's a one light door with side panels that are also one light.
Single light.
Single
okay,
light.
Okay,
yeah.
So just one big piece
of
glass.
Yeah, one big piece
there,
of glass. Dual glazed,
right? And they're tough to find. Supply chain?
Supply chain. Mm-hmm. You know, and manufacturing is slow because mm-hmm. now it's the holidays and, you know, we're going to get into New Year's and Christmas and blah, 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 blah. And speaking mm-hmm. of which, I'm just overwhelmed by the, you know, when you walk into Lowe's and you get the Christmas music all of a sudden, mm-hmm. and there's the trees up and everybody's frantic and the parking lots are nuts and I just want to go hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I'm a little bitter about the whole thing. I'm sick of it all. I feel
really?
Manipulated, for God's sakes.
You bought into the Scrooge McDuck.
What are you doing? Are you feeling happy, excited, and are you going to have a big bird and all that business?
I always look forward to the holidays, not so much. I mean, I like the holidays. Well, a couple things.
Yeah.
I like cold weather.
Yeah.
So it always means it's cooled off.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Secondly, I like the food.
Yeah.
Thirdly, I like just being home.
Yeah.
That's for
so
me.
So
do you
do you shut down and like not do the Twitter and all that stuff, or what do you do?
Well, we'll be actually at Helium Comedy Club December 22nd, 23rd. Oh. So I'll be on the fly.
You'll be in a hotel
up until then.
So the reason you're happy is you'll be alone, away from everyone. In a large, comfortable, king-size bed in a fancy hotel suite. Of course you
love it. That's right. It's like you've got a Ring doorbell on my travel bag.
That's right.
That's how I roll. All right. We have get a coaster going over there. Oh, you got your stuff over there.
You know, I'm working.
Trying to, as a man who is such a believer in wood.
Yes.
The fact that you set down a cold, sweaty
but
drink.
But I set it on the paper you saw.
After you moved. All right. We got questions there, Matt.
Yes, we do. We got some great video questions. Please email us, aceontthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the vids. This first one is from Joe.
Hey, Hayes, man. Remodeling a bathroom here. Never done it before, but I took Adam's advice and just started doing it after talking to a lot of people and watching a lot of YouTube. Anyways, we recently decided after we were almost done to rip out this old, nasty-looking steel shower enclosure and build out kind of a whole tile thing from this to the end and up. So kind of the shower enclosure is long.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, we made that decision after we had a guy tile this wall, and behind it is a hardy backer, and we want a step here, so you step up into the shower there, so that step will frame it here, and somehow that needs to be fastened against that wall.
What's a curb?
And then obviously tile across here, and then frame this up, and that needs to be fastened into that wall, but the tile's out there, and that's a problem. So I'd like to know, what are my options to securing the framing to that wall there without having to rip tiles out?
All right. Well,
the guy was a little long-winded, so I clipped it there at the end, but yeah. I can also tell you the only other piece of info he gave is he can walk around and get to the studs on the other side behind that
tile.
Well,
that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it doesn't hoit. You can find the stud. You can drill the tile. Little bit of an oversized thing, and you can sink like a, you know, framing member type screw into it. Trying to think, it's going to have the framing on its edge. Is it going to go through the long way, the 2x4, 3.5 inches? That seems a little
I don't
weird.
Understand what he's doing with the what is the framing for? Is that for a step, he said?
Now, first he said he was framing a step, but yeah. I don't think he meant a step. I think he meant a curb.
Okay. Got it. So he needs to tie the curb into the framing on that left side, theoretically.
Yeah. Well, one could go behind it and block it.
Yes.
And then one could use a tile bit, put a hole in
correct.
It, you know, and then just use a framing, you know.
And if he's floating it, which you're supposed to float bases.
He's got like 12 tiles up there, dude. We're going to build our life around those 12 tiles?
I don't want to build our life. Yeah, because what you need to do is hot mop the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, I'm not even sure about that. But if the tiles are going to be entombed behind the framing, and you're trying to come up with elaborate ways to frame around
the tile off.
Just pop the tile.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. You're just going to blow six tiles.
Yeah, or whatever. A couple
and
more.
I also didn't enjoy that the grout joints on the floor and the walls had absolutely no bearing on being lining up whatsoever. Made me uncomfortable. This is my problem. I go into the restroom of fancy hotels, and while I'm peeing, I look to the corner and I see grout joints that don't line up, and I get uncomfortable and I can't pee.
Let me tell you the problem of the people who stay at the hotel.
Yeah. They're looking at me.
They go into the bathroom and they see you looking, but they don't think you're looking at the grout line.
That's why I've been. That's why I keep getting assaulted by large sailors.
Belt line is what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You're wondering whether they should have used sanded grout because it's more than 3/16.
Right. And he's going like, what the hell are you looking at my penis for?
The weary traveler just sees you looking at the belt line.
That's it.
And that's the
problem. Do you understand how many times I've been beaten up in restrooms?
Well, I would argue that you have to – it's hard to separate. Most guys who take a leak aren't tile men like
that's
you.
That's right.
So there's no contact.
So should I do sunglasses in the restrooms?
Yes.
Okay.
Sunglasses and a knit cap pulled down as far as you can pull it down.
Or old school horse blinders. Too much?
Yeah. Just go with, go with the ski reflective sunglasses and then go with the
beanie. I guess it doesn't help that I, before I'm looking and they think I'm looking at their junk, I say, new in town?
Yeah.
Question mark. And then I look at them.
That's right. Now you're catching on.
I get it.
All right, I'm trying to figure this thing out. There's a part of me that says just blow it out.
Yeah.
Seems like he got a little happy with the Tyler.
Right.
Seems like he got the Tyler in a little too soon.
Yes.
Nobody wants to have to eat it.
No.
But this may be throwing good money after bad. Like, maybe...
And he said it was on Hardybacker, but he looks like he said everything on Greenboard, which also is a concern.
He said Hardybacker, but it did kind of look Greenboardy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you screw up. Sometimes you call the tile guy out before the plumber, or, you know, you put the horse in front of the cart, whatever the metaphor is.
Yeah.
And then you try to work around it, but the workaround ends up causing more trouble than. Maybe you just blow it out.
It's such an easy
zero.
It's such an easy demolition at this point.
Right.
So you might as well just do that. I would start over.
But if you want entombed tile, they have bits you can drill them through.
Yes, they do.
Personally, in order to line it up, if I was going to try to go through tile, just anyone who's listening who wants to do this.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put some sleepers on for some framing.
Yeah,
I would use a wood bit. I would drill through the 2x4, the sleepers. Then I would put a tile bit on, and I would go through the tile and the Hardybacker and whatever was there. Then I would go back to the wood bit, do a little bit of a pilot hole into the stud behind the wall, and then put a timber screw or a framing screw, and. Don't suck it up too much. Don't drive it home too hard.
Could potentially crack.
Definitely going to crack that tile.
Yeah,
it's going to flex in.
That's right. Also, make sure those screws are stainless or some way they're not going to rust. Galvanized stainless.
Good point. All right. What else we got, man?
Well, let's jump over to our Twitter feed here. You can also follow us at Ace on the House. This question kind of relates to our bathroom talk, our big glass talk. It's from Tony. It says, get it on. How big of a piece of glass should I go with? I have a built tile shower, 3 foot by 6 foot. I'm thinking 40 inches minimum up to 50 inches wide. Just don't want it to look too big, but don't want to have water splashing out.
Got a nice looking shower stall there.
That's gorgeous. But I'll tell you, everybody wants to do this. I hardly have glass shower door configuration. And the reality is...
Well, they're talking about a partition, right?
Yeah,
they're talking about a partition?
Still, though, my point... Yes, there's going to be glass that would come out 40 inches from the wall, the valve side wall.
Mm-hmm.
So 40 inches still is going to not get you coverage behind the shower. And splashing will occur, and the floor will always be wet, and you will always have to squeegee.
What is kind of your minimum?
I think you should have a surround. I don't think the divider glass ever works. I want the door.
Yeah. I've done it with the division.
Yeah.
It does, inevitably get
out.
There's
always a towel on the floor. You know it's coming. Just make it the right way, and you can do no frame shower glass doors that are beautiful and they look invisible. So I would always recommend err on the side of a door.
Yeah, all right. If not, if you just want the divider, then go a little further than what you think is necessary.
Yeah.
Because it does have a way of sloshing.
And we don't know what's on the back end of this shower to the left in the photo. And so if there's a wood cabinet, it is going to get wet. If, you know, if it's just a floor, it is going to be slippery. You know, so there's all that to consider.
Is there?
I mean, if you did a back panel and a side panel with no door, I could see doing that.
Is there a world where we try the panel, give it a dry, wet run?
There is.
See how it goes, and then see if we need a door to be added.
Yes. If you go, by the way, tip for you folks in the world of shower doors, right? You can go to glass companies and order and mock up your own shower door, and it's really like a third of the money. Mm-hmm. And the install is pretty simple. It's generally just tracks on, you know, that are either glued or screwed into the dam itself.
Yeah.
Same with the walls. And I mean, it really kind of makes it from, you know, $2,500 to $800.
Right.
But it's a question of if you want to carry big pieces of glass.
Do we need to go all the way up with the glass to the ceiling?
Or if,
can we
if
just
you,
get the 6'8" or something?
You can do 6'8" because you definitely don't want to get into the world of, like, it feels that the dripping from the ceiling because there's so much steam is always an issue. I think you always want that ventilation on the top.
Also, keep in mind when you're ordering set glass, wherever you're putting it, it's not going to be exactly square.
No.
That curb, the wall, then
no,
if you,
that's right,
if you try to go all the way up the ceiling, you may be fucking yourself.
You absolutely will be. And those tracks usually have play to then, you know, kind of move them back and forth with all these little
shims
that you can buy that are clear plastic that work
tough. Not clear plastic, but they have shims, you know, that you can shim it
right
in the track, but give yourself a little track room.
Exactly.
So, you know, come up 3/4 of an inch on the track, give yourself, order the glass a little undersized,
yep,
and give yourself a little space to shim.
And when you transport them, if you clip a corner while you're carrying it, because, you know, it's the same kind of glass that a car windshield is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll blow up and just go to thousands of pieces on you. You got to be very careful when transporting it, moving those corners around.
You ever see Gary Stromer, man? You know, you see a lot of those Safe Light windshield crack commercials?
Yeah.
You see those?
Safe Light beef dive, Safe Light beef dive.
Okay. I'm really fixated on those commercials. There's two things. First off, the couple's always doing something that I've never done with a woman. Like, we're going across the country and we're camping and
yep,
we're going antiquing together in, like, small towns. And they're out really living their life, number one.
No.
That doesn't happen.
No.
Number two that doesn't happen is if you notice those commercials, tell me if you guys notice this, it's the couple. The guy seems minorly concerned that there's a crack in the window, but the woman is apoplectic.
Oh,
She's breaking down. Like, she's got a look on her. Oh, God. The guy's sort of standing in the back kind of going, well, shit happens.
Maybe, yeah.
And she's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Glamping trip ruined.
She's got a look. How can I love with this crack?
I'll give you a version with a farmer's market.
Oh, yeah. And then the woman is always, she's always got the lead. And the dude's in the back. And then the third thing that never happens is at some point she pulls out a wad of cash to hand to the guy. And he's like, no. Your money's no good here.
No, you don't need that.
We've somehow built a company where we don't accept compensation
yeah, that's right,
for the work we perform.
Yeah, that's right.
No. All right, here it is. So, we got Brent, a technician since 2010.
Been there forever.
Mm-hmm. Knows his way around.
When you get a chip in your windshield, trust Safelight.
Mm.
This couple counts on their SUV as they travel for their small business.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got a chip in their windshield, they brought it to Safelight for a same
guy day understands
shop repair. We repaired the chip.
Guy understands
right
life moves on, but not her.
No, she's paying. I don't need your money.
No money
Plus,
for you, sweetie.
To protect their glass, we installed new wipers too.
Ooh,
that service
wow
the way you need it.
It's nice.
Safelight repair. There it is.
Safelight yeah. That's now, why is the woman taking the lead? Every commercial, it's the woman. There's another one where they're camping. guy's cuckolded Stromer. Well, he's in the back. He doesn't know what.
He's just carrying a big basket of apples that she's going to make delicious pie with, and, you know, she's concerned.
I think they're selling the apples. Now, another one where the woman takes the lead and the guy's in the back. Yeah. Again, she's fit to be tied, Stromer.
Yeah, no, of course she is.
Sorry, here we go.
Every customer has their own safe light story. This couple loves camping.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And their SUV is always there with them. Dude. So when their windshield got a chip.
Oh, my God.
No!
Fast.
See, am I right? The guys...
Yeah, they're always sort of half in it.
The guy wants to know what's going on. She knows what's going on. No money.
To them.
Really? No money.
That service you can trust when you need it most.
All right, now, here's what I'm saying. Is there ever a scenario where the guy pays?
No.
And he may be more concerned?
But I don't understand who pays. I still don't
understand. Nobody pays.
So it's just free things.
They're government-funded, non-profit organization... They reach out to
part of the whole big Biden plan.
They reach
free
out
glass.
To white people in the community to fix their windshield chip.
That's right. That's right.
It's the whitest organization on the planet.
You
want to
know what's happening? The guy that was holding the apples and then the guy that was in the camping trip is just trying to think, like, how can I bang this girl before we have to get back in the car?
And she'll never be in the
mood. She'll never be in the mood.
Not
now
with
it's
this
all
ding.
That's really where he is.
Right. Yeah. Right? She's upset.
She's. Well, obviously, because she knows she might have to.
Do you think that's an actual couple? Do you think they audition? Like they have a woman, you know, just sort of face the camera and go like, first,
I think
discovery.
It's the same.
You know what I mean? Like what?
You know the realistic people in pre-bought frames in stores that look happy and they're doing things that they put the picture in the frames, right?
Uh-huh,
it's
frame
the same
store.
Thing.
Same couple.
They're all people that are really great that are in these frames or in the Safe Light commercial.
Gary, you got to freeze her frame. I'm going to see this look of disgust on this woman.
No, she's so mad.
Snake bitten. And by the way, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's a crack in the windshield.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they have noticed a crack while they were driving the car? I mean, Gary, you got a pretty good head on this stuff. What happened with the crack? The car's parked now. You know, you get a crack when you're driving down the highway and a throws up a pebble or a rock. She was just coming back to the car. Let's watch it again.
I'm just spitballing here, but potentially an angry crow dropped something.
You know what? That's probably what happened.
Right. Some pesky animal of some sort. Look at her. Oh, look at that. Oh,
devastated.
She's horrified.
It's parked. She's devastated.
And then can you get to him? He's just like, do you think we can get one in?
He understands shit happens on the road.
Yeah.
She's not wired. So she walks up to the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always...
Look, he's looking at her fanny right now. You can see what he's doing.
The fellas are always a couple steps behind.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of know their place. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's like, I guess that's a crack.
Oh, look at her. And then she gets really, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And he's like,
The humanity.
Yeah. No, it's terrible.
Yeah. She's not happy about this crack. Who's driving? Do you think he drives?
I think he's a passenger.
He's along for the
ride. He probably has a DUI, so he can't drive.
Why are the ladies always paying, Matt? Is it? Would that ring true?
It's 21st century, man. It's the women's world. We just live in it.
Okay. So she's driving. She's paying.
Yeah,
she's
actually in the trailer.
It kind of looks like him driving.
He's locked in the trailer.
I think he might. Maybe she got tired from driving and let him take a stint. You know,
it also
what I mean?
Tracks that she'd be more pissed off if he was the driver.
Mm, oh, because then it would be his fault.
What did you do? Uh-huh.
Yeah, you did
I told
something
you not to take this route.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Glad we blew the lid off this one, man.
Can I just hear the theme song one more time? Because it makes me uncomfortable, but I love it.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
I love
it. It's a sweet company.
Yeah, nice.
They got to be based out of, you know, some place.
They're just
the heartland.
They're paying so much money to give us all these windshields. I want to go crack my windshield right now just to get a free one. Right?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, what a shocker. Columbus, Ohio.
Everyone's
the
nice.
Heartland.
They're all nice there.
I knew it.
I know.
All right, let me tell you about Truebill. Wonder why free trials renew without your consent? It's a scam. That's right. Don't let corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill, new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need. want or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year. Truebill has helped over 2 million users save over $100 million. Just link your accounts to Truebill, and it'll cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. There's so many accounts, people can't keep track of things. They're taking the money out. You don't know it. It's not like that SafeLight commercial. They want your money. They accept payments, and you're not even using the account anymore. So protect yourself with Truebill, right, Matt?
Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/AOTH. Go right now, Truebill.com/AOTH. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/AOTH.
All right, we got another question there.
Yes, we do. We got an email question, actually. This is an email from Ray. Who's a homeowner, so it can't be all right.
Wow.
Ace Man, Stromer, get it on. 32 years old, I've been a homeowner for going on 6 years now. I want to paint my 1960s house, but I have some issues with the stucco that I need to fix first. Wanted your opinion on how to do it. All around my house, I have these round holes where they bored into the stucco and blew insulation in the walls. To patch the holes, they put corks in them and then patched over with, I think, stucco. This was all done before we bought the house. They're very noticeable, and I can't just paint over them because they'll show. Ace Man, with your infinite knowledge, can you give me some options on what I can do to fix it? Thanks.
Where's he at? Did he say?
Turlock, California.
All right. Well, it's true. It's really hard to do this kind of stuff and then not have the patch bleed through. It just does. It is, you know, people get up there with some painter's caulk and push it into the crack and skim over it, blah, blah, blah. A couple of rains, couple of years, you start to see it push through again. I would first get my wife out there so she can look really concerned.
Really concerned.
I
mean?
I want to shot her seeing that crack in the stucco.
And then we're
going, what? All right. Now, I spoke last show about the texture spray on, siliconized, rubberized, you know, sort of coating that was X amount of mil thick, you know, that just got a little R value out of it and did kind of like a rubberized coat. They got to take a hopper, they knock it down or whatever the finish is.
Yeah.
You know, that's an option. And you wouldn't have to paint. I think you pick a color, that stuff.
Yeah.
The other option is a color coat over it, but I don't know.
It will crack again.
It will crack again. You got to pick a color.
And then, you know, having had to replace stucco and try and rematch finishes is really hard unless you have a pro stucco guy that does it in his sleep. And in order to do that, you have to get those grinding wheels that go on a 7-inch grinder that will literally take the stucco down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the solution if you were going to retexture it. But if you retexture incorrectly, it literally is like a billboard for failure, right?
What about chasing the cracks out, blowing the cracks out, gluing, putting some, you know, masonry glue in there and doing like a feather float in a large patch over each one? Really,
you could do that. And
there,
you know, if you go to a stucco supply place, they do have color charts with pre-mixed that's acrylic add stuff that you can put in there.
Well, he's gonna paint it.
He is gonna paint. He's not gonna try. Okay,
it's really the crack. The thing about the crack is,
I would just do like a really high quality exterior caulk in the crack and then just go that route.
Do we want to get a die grinder and chase the cracks out?
Probably a little bit. Yeah, I think so. But then are we taking the cork out and starting over?
No. There's also, I don't know what they do for stucco, Stromer. But, you know, for drywall, they got those really thin sheet metal squares.
Right.
With the mesh over it.
Uh-huh.
What if he stuck those on all over the place and then kind of did a feather float, you know, brought it out about, made 16 inches around, you know what I mean?
So I think unless you grind the crap out of it with that disc I'm talking about, it will really be obvious. It'll look like a pucker over the existing stucco. You're not going to get that texture to line up at all. and then the edges of that thing will crack.
I'm trying to I don't know about the edges of it. I'm trying to think of what his stucco
I feel like he should, you know, at the very least chase out some of the cracks, pull out the corks and fill it with, you know, acrylic stucco patch and use a stucco trowel, the foam one, and just rub it out and then let it dry, and hopefully you kind of match that feeling.
Yeah, all right. And go with like...
But you have to remove the paint that's on the stucco now with some sort of a grinder disc.
Well, definitely go with like an elastomeric paint.
Yes.
Got a little bit of rubberized to it. It's got a little mill to it. Do that.
And by the way, what's up with the guy blowing the insulation in? What a crap job that was. Why didn't he go the other way from the drywall?
Inside? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Seems weird that he didn't go from the inside. Yeah. Maybe there was some cabinetry or something in the way.
Right.
We'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go to the local stucco house, talk to the guys. There's a lot of new products now that would be a lot, you know, anything's better than shoving painter's caulk in the crack and you know, painting over.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
I actually had a home improvement question there. For a long time now, one of the things on my list that I want to do at my house is put the artificial turf, hopefully everywhere, but at the very least in the front yard. I like that it looks perfect. But I walk around my neighborhood and I see more than a few houses who have done that. And then from beyond, the former grass is creeping out around the edges and poking through the artificial turf. So is that just about picking a company that's probably going to have a bit of a mid-price bid and trusting that they're going to know how to go grind that all the way down? And then sort of a sub-question for that is, in an ideal world, I'd like to leave the sprinkler system that's already there. So if the neighbor's dog shits on my artificial lawn, I can just run it and, you know, give it a quick cleaning. Is that practical, or to get down into that dirt and get to the root of all that shit, are they just going to end up naturally fucking up the irrigation?
Probably.
I don't like the keep the...
I don't either.
Okay.
I also...
You have to cut holes in
also, it's the
turf.
It's the weed screen grade that the installer are using, right? There's like really a difference in the big box store weed screen and the industrial stuff you get at a landscape supply. Like, it's night and day.
Okay.
So make sure whoever you hire has that high quality weed screen and pay extra for it, because it does not fail like
well,
the other stuff does.
The reality is, you know, it rains, bird droppings with seeds, runs off the driveway, runs into the crack. I mean, the grass sprouting up along the edge where it's running against the sidewalk or the driveway, but it's almost inevitable. I mean, it would really be difficult to eliminate that. You can kind of mitigate, but you cannot eliminate.
Yes, Johnny.
That's
Johnny
right.
Cochran.
So, you know, they do their best, you do your best, but that there is going to be some maintenance to that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. There's certain houses I see where it's just coming up straight through the middle of the
yeah,
of
that's
the
bad weed screen.
Yeah, bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
it's,
so the through the
good
middle,
stuff, the
yeah.
good stuff is really heavy duty black.
Through the middle, I mean, it shit can grow anywhere. It doesn't need, you know, soil. Sometimes it can just grow in the artificial grass. But get the good stuff. You got to compact it. You got to go with decomposed granite and maybe some gravel. They got to take some soil down. Like, it's not just lay it on top of what's existing, you know. And yeah, I would get rid of it.
And also, in anticipation of the project, you should and probably would be recommended, kill your grass or whatever's growing there now. Just shut the water down and let it die.
Right.
And in best case scenario, somebody would take all that dead grass away. And then you do the job after that. But most of the time, nobody has that time. But if you can do it, it'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they till it, and then they...
But if they till it dead, it's a huge difference.
Might remove...
You ever use one of those
inches?
Soil, the turf removing machines? Have you ever used one of those?
No.
It just literally cuts the soil out. It's amazing. You got to get a low boy, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But it almost when you remove it, it looks like sod because it takes that much dirt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty cool. They're easy to rent. They're not that expensive.
All right, we got another one, Matt.
Yeah, we got another video question. And again, check them out, aceontheroof.com. Here is another video question. This one is from Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get it on. 29-year-old homeowner in Mission Viejo. Got a fixer here built in 1967. A lot of work to do around the house, but what I'm showing you right now is something that I think is a little beyond my scope. Got some water damage and rot going on to the exterior. The original owner put a planter right below this windowsill in the back area here. So just trying to figure out what you guys think will take to get it done, and more importantly, what you think a fair bid from a contractor would be to fix this. Thanks a lot, guys. Love the show.
Is that the window metal rusted out?
I thought it was metal at first. Now it looks like wood rot.
Okay.
Or maybe it's metal.
Because if it's the window itself and it was an old aluminum window that's rusted out, that window should just be replaced. Mm. But if that's part of framing at some point, then, you know, obviously.
Well, it's like the SafeLight jingle goes. It's SafeLight repair or SafeLight replace.
We're finding that jingle got in our head and actually is one of the great jingles of all time.
Effective.
I can't stop singing it, and content-wise, it's genius.
So you think maybe replace the whole thing.
I do.
Yeah, it's looking rough down there, and it's going
to be
tough.
And don't be afraid to pull it all back with a little bit of a shovel and just see really what it is, because, you know, you need to know and be informed. Is that rot from the window, or is that rot from an old
pressure? All right, let me give you the fast way to do this or the cheap way to do it. Dig out all the rot. Just get all the rot out. You know, sort of like a dentist getting all the decayed tooth out of there. You know, got to get it all out.
That's right.
There could be some serious daylight under that thing.
That's right.
Then one could dam it up from the inside of the house and spray structural foam under there.
Yeah.
And just fill it up with structural foam. It'll out to the outside edge.
Yeah.
Then you got to get one of those little finished banjo saws or whatever and flush cut it.
Yeah.
Saw it flush.
Yeah.
You know, then the guy could try to stucco, build up a little stucco curb or something. I mean, it's not going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and the problem is
that's the cheap and easy way to fix it.
And the dirt is creating the moisture, which is creating the rot. So I would maybe err on the side of, you know, either doing another layer of either like plastic bender board between the soil and that repair you just did, or cement.
Or maybe clearing out the garden.
I don't think people ever take seriously enough that soil should not be contacting structure, you know, unless there's good drainage, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something people overlook.
You might want to take the planter out and fill it with some fake plants or something like that. I'm not a big fan of the soil that close to the edge.
Right.
It's a lot of moisture and critters, and it's just not a good plan. And that's why it went south in the first place.
That's right.
All right, let's try another.
Sure thing. We got a Twitter question here. I have a 100-year-old floor joist that has some water damage from decades ago, creating a small dip in the floor. I jack up the joist and sandwich it with a new one, but metal electrical conduit is running through it. Seems silly to notch, so do I take out the conduit first?
Well, in terms of his sistering.
Do we have a picture of it, or is it just a...
No pic. Okay.
I got it in my head. Stromer.
Not that you didn't paint pictures with your glorious words. No offense.
Thank you, sir.
I would say I've kind of been down this road a couple times.
Because you're going to move the conduit if you jack up, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. How do you get the new one in?
Well, it's kind of like, where's the conduit? Is it right through the middle of it?
Yeah.
He said it was a 2x6 or 6x. You'd be surprised how much flex strength you can get from a 3-inch piece of flat steel that you lag onto that, or even through bolt sandwich, you know, Tiger Woods femur style, you know,
sure,
put that each side of it. Moving the conduit is going to be a little bit of a
bitch. You got to basically pull new wire, you know?
Well, there's a version of moving the conduit, possibly, where you channel up 3/4 of an inch or down 3/4 of an inch, just kind of flex it up.
Right.
You know, buy yourself a little more meat. But yeah, you're not going to take 2x6 dimensional lumber and slap it on each side.
Yeah, because you know, if it's like halfway through, you're losing the structure of that piece of...
You can also take the 2x6 and run it wild down low, you know what I mean? Still get some of that flex strength out of it.
Right,
You can also use steel, flat steel, angle steel. Take a piece of 3-inch wide flat steel that's 3/16 thick.
Uh-huh.
You put it on its edge and lag it to that.
Sure.
To that, you're going to get a lot of flex strength out of that.
The other way is do a box. So you cut the flex or whatever you're running through the beam.
It's rigid, probably.
You know, you're going to have to then put a box somewhere. You know, and you don't have to pull wire that way, at least.
Yeah. Trying to avoid, because he's probably got that old thick wall, conduit, probably. I would say.
So how, when you jack up this beam and you put, let's say we go the flat bar route, how long do you think that piece needs to be to, let's say that the bow in that joist is like, you know, 4 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that flat bar have to be, do you think, to kind of repo and get that thing straight again?
Well, I would say at least 8 feet.
Like 8, right?
I would definitely kind of double wherever the bow is.
Same amount on either side of new space,
sure.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He could through bolt it to another flat piece on the other side, but I don't think that would be totally necessary.
And then you're just lagging with like half-inch lags, you think, is enough?
I wouldn't use half-inch.
What would you use?
I'd use more like 1/4 inch.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't want to bore up that beam that much. You know
and
what
then
I mean?
Are we looking at
maybe
it as
3/16?
Maybe
even 3/16.
Is it a detail now, or are we trying to pretend it's not there?
I don't think he sees it. I think it's under the floorboards.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. I think
cool.
That's his thing. I would go steel if I could.
Yeah.
Wherever you got more meat, above the conduit or below the conduit, I would go with that. I would drill it, and I would make sure that it was kind of zigzagged, you know, like I would go a little high, then a little low, then a little high, put my holes a foot apart, you know, get one up toward the upper edge, then down to the lower edge and up. Flat, 3-inch.
And then do you want to disconnect the flex or whatever, however it's being held in place so that it has more ability to travel before you do this?
No, I feel like the conduit will flex up as much as you want it to flex up.
Yeah.
And then you could just lag it in. You could go like 3/16, 1/4 inch probably max. I don't think it's about the heft of the screw.
Okay.
It's about getting that steel on there. Yeah. No need to countersink it or anything. Make it... I don't know, make it a 2-inch one and just poke through the other side, or maybe make it 1.5 inches and maybe 1.75 inches if they have them. 2-inch, again, they don't count the head.
Yeah.
And then there's the steel thickness. So a 2-incher will get just about right to the edge of the. And it's 100 years old, so he's actually got a true 2 inches.
Yeah, that's right.
On the thickness of that dimensional lumber, whatever it is. If it's a 6x6, it's 6x6.
Right.
It's not 5.5 by 5.5.
Yeah.
All right, take care of your business there, Stromer.
Listen, kids, do you own or do you rent your own home? Well, sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But do you know what's easy? Well, I'll tell you. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too. Why? Well, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. That's right. Visit geico.com. That's geico.com.
All right. Doing live shows, Brea Improv.
And laying in that big bed with your turkey leg.
Attaboy. December 15th. TJ Miller's going to join us. Patrick Warburton. We're taping the whole thing for a stand-up special, so you can come on out and check that out. And then aforementioned Portland, Oregon on the 22nd, 23rd Helium Comedy Club, doing some live pod there and some stand-up there. Just go to adamcarolla.com for everything you need. And then there's our Pluto TV channel, 687. Tons of free content there. Tons of docs. So go check that out. All righty then. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying... Mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital.